Aleluia, aleluia, aleluia. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
As Jesus was teaching in the temple area, he said, "How do the scribes claim that the Christ is the son of David? David himself, inspired by the Holy Spirit, said, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I place your enemies under your feet.' David himself calls him Lord. So how is he his son?" The great crowd heard this with delight. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The book of Tobit, which we have during this ninth week in ordinary time every other year, is basically about God's healing. The name Raphael means the healing of God. So we see throughout the book in an allegory how God heals. Today we see the culmination of the healing of Tobit himself. Tobit himself had been a heroic figure, faithful to the Lord, where he was growing on up in northern Israel before the Assyrian conquest, while everybody else around him was sacrificing at the pagan temples in Dan. He was making the pilgrimage up to worship the true God three times a year with sacrifices in Jerusalem. After the exile, as the evil Assyrian king Sennacherib was murdering Jews for a sport, it was Tobit, at the risk of his life, that was going out to bury those slain Jews in that real corporal work of mercy, because Sennacherib was outraged that somebody was doing it, because he wanted the vultures to eat the Jews, and he wanted to sort of intimidate the Jews by what he was doing. He put out a contract on Tobit. So Tobit needed to flee. As soon as Sennacherib died, his son welcomed Tobit back. But one of the first things Tobit did, as we saw earlier in this week, is when he sent out his son at the celebratory feast for his return to just get some poor kinsman, some poor Jew, to come and share their feast, found that a poor Jew had been slain again. And off Tobit went, despite the mockery of his neighbors, any one of whom could have turned him in. He buried that man. But as good as Tobit was, there were still multiple levels of healing that he needed. He needed some healing in his marriage, as we saw earlier this week, when despite his loving God, despite his loving strangers and burying them, he wouldn't even trust his wife when his wife had said that she had earned a goat as a bonus from her work and that it wasn't stolen property. All of this is part of what the Lord wanted to do in his life. Because of that illness, various things needed to occur. First, he needed to send his son to get the money he had left in Media. And if it weren't for that, Tobias would have never found Sarah. Sarah would have never had the healing she did from God. He would have never found that wife, and then there would have been no miracle for Tobit. And so today we see what happened with that miracle. And it's got a sacramental significance which we can't miss. Tobiah runs on up at the insistence of the archangel and says, "Take courage, Father." He blows on him, which not only was cleaning the eyes of any dust, but it was also a sign of the ruah of the spirit, right? I mean, the wind and spirit, breath and spirit are the same in Hebrew. And then he took out gall, which was a pretty type of galling medicine. Let's be honest, at the beginning you get cataracts, according to this allegory, from bird droppings, and now you're going to be cured from fish gall, from a fish that had tried to bite him, and the liver and the heart was used to drive off the god of lust, Asmodeus, from the marital chamber of Tobias and Sarah. Now Tobit was going to be cured, by having gall sting his eyelids. But he did take courage, just as his son had said, and God's healing had come to him through the ministrations of Raphael. And finally, he would say, I can see you, son, the light of my eyes. And then he began to praise. Blessed be God, praised be his great name, blessed be all his holy angels throughout all the ages, may his name be praised, because it was he who scourged me, and it is he who has had mercy on me. Behold, I now see my son. That the Lord permits various illnesses to come so that he might be glorified, one way or the other. In the responsorial psalm, we see the truth that the Lord gives sight to the blind. He raises up those who are bowed down. And we need to praise him just as much. That whole image of giving sight to blindness, that healing that we need, even when, like Tobit, we may already be fundamentally good, is what can unite the gospel, the feast, and our preparation for Corpus Christi. The gospel, what was Jesus doing after being interrogated the last few days, first by the rigorous Pharisees and the laxest Herodians together about whether it's lawful to pay tax to Caesar, because all they saw in Jesus was someone who was going to create trouble for them. They couldn't see who he was. After Jesus answered the question of the Sadducees about eternal life, because they couldn't see even the plain meaning of the scriptures and how God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, long dead according to this world, but alive if he's still their God. And of the scribe yesterday, the fourth and the last major class, about how to make sense and synthesize the really most important things of the 613 commandments in the Old Testament. After all of this, Jesus gets into the temple area and Jesus starts asking questions. He asks a question that's directed specifically to open up their eyes to capture the deepest truth of all about the Messiah, which had been given by David in Psalm 110. So he asks, how do the scribes, these greatest scholars of the law, the one who had just asked him this question that nobody dared ask him any others, how do the scribes claim that the Messiah, the anointed one, is the son of David? David himself, inspired by the Holy Spirit in the Psalms, said, the Lord said to my Lord, first Lord is God, my Lord is always interpreted as Messiah, sit at my right hand until I place your enemies under your feet. How could David the father call Lord his son? The great crowd heard this with delight because they liked to be stumped. They didn't so much want the truth, they wanted the mystery at the time. But Jesus was trying to open up their eyes to what God the Father had revealed to Saint Peter when Jesus had asked, who do the people say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Peter didn't just say, you are the Messiah, but he added, because the Father had revealed it to him, you are the Son of God. Peter was able to see the full sense of the Scripture because of the healing God had given to his eyes of faith. Saint Boniface spent his whole life trying to do just this. He was born in England. He became a monk very early. He studied under a great saint, abbot. And then he took over the school that the abbot ran because he was such a good student and he was on fire to proclaim sacred scripture, its real meaning, to help people to see not only God through sacred scripture, but who they are reflected in the mirror of sacred scripture. He was burning so much that he wanted to spend his life giving it, and he knew because of his leadership ability that it was only a matter of time until they were going to try to make him either abbot or bishop there in England. So he finally was able to persuade his abbot to give him the permission to go to Germany, which was full of savages basically at the time, living out there in the woods, various tribes, to bring them the light of the gospel. After he had succeeded, he went over. It was very hard. He eventually got permission in a letter from the Pope in order to be able to do it more easily with the church. and also to be able to give something to the civil leaders so that he'd be able to get a little bit of protection as he was going through and a little bit of status. He spent the whole rest of his life doing this. He first started with the pagans to help them come to the truth. And after he had succeeded all over a huge swath of territory, he then went to the places in what we would now call southern Germany, Bavaria, which had already been evangelized, but had become very lax. And through a whole bunch of little synods, he started to bring them back to see the consequences of the faith in their life. And then he went into what we would now call France, and with the help of the emperors, held councils so that he would be able to bring them likewise back to the living of the true faith. Such tremendous work. And at the very end of his life, after he had been freed and had passed on to some of the monks he had brought over from England many of the responsibilities of the administration of those large territories as the papal legate, he went back to simple, pure missionary work to help others to see. It was as he was preaching in an area previously unevangelized that a whole bunch of people came upon him and the others and slaughtered them all in 754. And it was at that point that he was able to see with full clarity. He was able to see the Son of God. Throughout his life, he was bringing the medicine of God to the biggest illness that faces us, who we are trying to live apart from the real source of life, when we just have bios in us. But not Zoe, not that supernatural life that allows us to see. Because we know, as St. John tells us, that it's only in the light of the world, that we can truly see clearly. St. Boniface spent his life helping others to recover that vision God had intended from the beginning. So as it comes to us, a few lessons. First, what bites us, what harms us, what seems to be freakish circumstances that happen to us, like bird droppings on the eyes, can actually be an incredible means by which God's going to bring us healing. Rather than asking the question, why did you allow this to happen to me? The question really is, how is this going to be used in order to heal me and so that I can give you glory? Second is to recognize that even though we may be already virtuous, thanks to God's grace, the Lord may allow these things to occur to us, just like he allowed it to happen to the very virtuous Tobit, to bring about a deepening of faith. Just like St. Paul was blinded later, so Tobit was blinded. But it was after having recovered the sight that they could see far more clearly than they ever did before. It wasn't a restoration to a previous way of looking at things. It was an advance to a totally much more significant way of viewing the world. And then third, we need to recognize that there are many things we still don't see. And because God recognizes that, he's going to use means precisely to enlighten us. So we approach Corpus Christi on Sunday. It's very important for us to be able to see with fresh eyes, at a much deeper level, what's really going on here. That what we behold in the greatest form of the Lord's humility of all, it wasn't just the incarnation coming into the world, it wasn't just the poverty of being born in a stable and put in an ancient animal Bethlehem, it wasn't just having his creatures manhandle him and murder him on Good Friday. The greatest humility of all is to hide himself under poor appearances of bread and wine, precisely so that he can nourish our soul and heal not just our sight, but our heart from within. That this really is the Lord. Sometimes it's easy for us who have such constant contact with the sacrament of the Lord's love in the Holy Eucharist, eventually to become routinized. It's not that we take it for granted conceptually or even in our heart, but it can become routinized. We can become so close to these realities that they seek to shock us. This is a time for us to grasp that the same Lord we hope to look on forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, he allows us to see under these veils here on earth. And that is meant to have an incredible healing consequence throughout our entire life. That what happens here is supposed to be the Eucharistic form of our entire existence. That the same Lord we receive continues to live within, even though we might not yet be able to see him. But what it would be like if we were to have our eyes open to the fact that in every Mass the Lord makes us monstrances. And just as much as a priest will take a luna with Jesus and put Jesus into a monstrance, so as that same priest will take the host and place him into ambulatory monstrances, sending you out on Corpus Christi processions all over New York and beyond. What an unbelievable change would occur if we kept the sight of what is really happening, that the Lord's going to be doing or seeks to do everything in tandem with us the whole rest of the day, so that we can be like Mary, bringing Jesus in visitations out to others, so that he can make others continue to leap. Book of Tobit was all about God's healing. And St. Ignatius of Antioch, in the first generation after the apostles, would say, Jesus in the Eucharist is the medicine of immortality. As we prepare to receive him now, we ask the Lord to cure whatever blindness remains, to help us to see him who has never taken his eyes off of us, and to see how he wants us to be the gall, to be the salve that goes out to help others to see. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.